Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church for all of you out there on internet land where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know and understand that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has commanded us three things: love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to continue going as we come to the second part of a series that I'm doing entitled, In Christ You Are Anointed Unto Victory. Last week, I showed you where that anointing is, through Jesus Christ, through He who is the Word, through His blood, and through the Holy Spirit. Each of us has been anointed in the exact same way Christ was anointed, through the blood, the water, and the Spirit. And we come into a great relationship with God, a relationship that leads us unto victory. It's easy, is it not, to find joy and a sense of victory or accomplishment when everything is going well. Isn't it just kind of, we all want that bliss in our lives. Now, I need to ask you a question. Does it stay? Unfortunately, no, because we live in a fallen, broken world and in a fallen, broken body. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. And I think it's funny because when we say amen, we're saying, yep, let it be, because that's the way it is. We're agreeing with it. And I want us to think about, not during the times when everything's going good, because we can all be victorious when everything's going good. We look good, we feel good, and you know, we're able to exude good. But what are you going to do when things aren't quite the way you want it? How many of us, when something is just a little off, we go off the deep end? And the next thing you know, we're in water over our heads. And 9 times out of 10, it's because of our stuff, not because of Christ who is in me. Jesus Christ has set me up for victory in all things. Some things are going to be difficult for me because I'm not God. Some things are going to be impossible for me because I'm not God. But in Christ Jesus, I can have that victory. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when trials and temptations, discouragement, doubt, or even persecution come into the mix, the enemy has a way of making us think or feel like a failure, doesn't he? Well, I just need to die. I think I heard that this morning. And it's amazing because that's exactly what the evil one wants. He wants you to give up because he knows if you continue on, you're going to achieve something that is for your good and the good of others around you. So I'm going to say this to you. This is my first point today for our sermon. Trials, temptation, discouragement, doubt, and persecution are not failure unless you quit. Bottom line, that is where it sits. You are not a failure in any of these things unless you quit. I told you many times now, my mama used to tell me the whole time I was growing up, because I would always say to her, well, I'm trying, and she'd look at me and say, you're the most trying person I know. And I have come to learn that in Jesus Christ, that is the most blessedness I can be, because I may never succeed at something, but as long as I am trying, the Lord is working in me. Can I get an amen out of the church? You and I need to understand, God says if you quit, you're done. Poke a fork in me and send it home, right? But God is not ready to receive you just yet. God has a work He wants to continue to do in you and through you, and that means we got to do a little bit more stuff. Because He ain't ready for you, because you ain't ready for Him. A lot of us may not want to understand that, but today we're going to try and wrap our heads around it just a little bit. I want you to turn in the Bibles with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Now I'm going to tell you all as you are headed for this first scripture There is a lot of scripture today. I'm going to try to get through this today and actually keep myself on my schedule. However, with the amount of scripture that I have today, I may end up having to stop at point one or just as I begin point two, depending on our time. So yeah, Brother Bobby, he's already telling me, yeah, you got to watch how you land that plane. Bring that thing in on a good slope. But I want us to understand, I don't want to overextend us because the mind can only endure what the seat will endure, is what I've been told here of late, right? And we're going to work on that with trying to get some more comfortable chairs because I might be able to get you to sit just a little bit longer. But unto that, let us look into the Word. 1 Peter 1, beginning in the 3rd verse through the 9th. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith and for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As we look at this, I want you to understand right here in 1 Peter 1 and 3, what do we see? What do we see? 1 Peter 1 and 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." There's your anointing again. Do you see it? The anointing of the Word, who is Jesus Christ, the blood that sets us free, and the power of the Holy Spirit unto being born again. Isn't that what I said last week? There's the anointing all over again. So many times we read this Word and we don't see the depth of what God is telling you. You are anointed unto victory. Don't ever forget it. Life is going to get you down because we are living in a fallen, broken body. And when life gets you down, pray, and God will lift you up. Do not listen to the evil one when he tells you that there's something wrong with you. Jesus knew it and took it to the cross. It went into hell and it stayed there. Would you quit bringing it back? You and I need to remember, he paid a price. He took it all away. Let it go. Let it go. Now that may sound a whole lot easier to say than do. And I'm guaranteeing you, I'm still working at it. You know, I have a t-shirt and I didn't wear it today because we took communion and I felt compelled to actually look decent for communion. Not that the shirt wouldn't have been decent, but it says on that shirt, and I'm going to wear it next week, you're all going to see it. It says, "I'm not that perfect Christian. I'm one that knows I need Jesus." There was only one perfect Christian, amen? And we put him on a cross. The rest of us need to remember we're fallen, we're broken. And that's where we are. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we get to partake of something that we haven't even received yet. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute because this scripture even says what I just said. You are going to have to deal with the temptations in life. You're going to have to deal with the discouragements of life, the doubt of life, the trials of life, the persecution of life. Look what it says in verse 6. What does it say in verse 6? It says, in this, in what? In life, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Brothers and sisters, is that speaking into your reality? How many of you are perfect every moment of every day? I don't see one hand up here. How about you folks? You doing good? Yeah, maybe now, but what about 5 minutes from now? What about yesterday or the day before? You know, when that fellow employee at work said something or did something that you didn't like, you know, and your mind went somewhere, or perhaps your mouth did. We're all there. We're all guilty. But what we need to remember is the cross of Jesus Christ sets us up to victory. If we will what? We spoke about this today in the men's group. We need to confess our sins one to another, pray, ask forgiveness. And sometimes, Brother Dennis, didn't you? That means going to those people and showing them. Because in our humility, God raises himself up and raises us up. We are here to live a victorious life. And I'm going to tell you right now, the most victorious Christian life there is to live in humility. To remember, we're a fallen, broken bunch of people, and we're here to lift each other up. I mean, we heard a sister out here this morning telling everybody, you know, she was worthless. And there was, what, five people out there, bro, sister, huh? Yeah, I'm looking at you. You know. I am right now. Because it's real. And there were five people telling you that this morning, stop. Am I right? Am I going to call it out? You get in my church, I'm going to call it out. It is what it is, and it ain't nothing to be ashamed of. It's to remember we're here to lift each other up. You are a sister, and we love you. And if you can't see it, we're going to show them to you. Amen. You got it. Because that's how we gain the victory. You don't walk this thing alone. You walk this thing alone, the evil one is going to eat you up. And that's what we need to remember. He is as a lion looking for someone to devour. Isn't that what the Word tells us? And he is going to try to devour you with temptation, with trials, with discouragement, with doubt, with persecution. You better believe he is. Did he not do those very things unto Jesus Christ himself? When he was tempted, in every way he was tempted, yet he was without sin. And that's what we need to remember. That's who we are. We are under that anointing that protects us. We are under that anointing that says those tests and trials are going to come. But you need to understand, God has something already set for each and every one of us who is in Christ Jesus, and it cannot be touched on this earth. But Pastor, do you believe the Word? Isn't that the first part of the anointing, is the Word? What does the Word say? Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Remember, if I'm not preaching the Word, you better kick me out. Verses 4 and 5. It says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, you're going to have all the success right now, right? Wrong. He says it's held in heaven. You got to believe it and walk by faith. And it's going to take some exercise. How many of us like going to the gym? How many of us like getting up in the morning and riding our little stationary bike? How many of us get on the treadmill? How many of you just have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning? God says we need to exercise our faith more than anything else, and he's going to see to it that we do. because he's going to allow those trials and those temptations and those discouragements and those doubts to come into our lives because we have to choose to love him every day. You have heard me say this. You have heard me say this. You have heard me say this. Love is not an emotion. Love is not that warm and fuzzy feeling. Love is choosing things that are difficult. Jesus Christ chose the cross. He knew how much it was going to pain him. 3 times he asked the Father to take it away. And he said unto him, yet not my will, but thine be done. Can I get an amen? He chose to love us in spite of the pain. That's why we just sang that cross. You know, we just sang that song about the cross, that Jesus saw what was on the other side of it. He knew it was going to hurt him for a while. And I'll guarantee you to hang on that cross for the hours that he hung on that cross was more pain than any of us have ever endured. Because he not only endured his pain, he was enduring all our pain. Every sin that we ever had were on him at that time of that cross. I cannot imagine what the spiritual turmoil was because he literally said from the cross, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in eternity, the Trinity was broken and God the Father had to turn his back on God the Son. But I tell you this, when he descended into hell and he shed that stuff, our stuff, do you think the face of the Father didn't turn back? Oh, I tell you right now, when he shed our sin, when all our junk fell off of him, all that was left was the Shekinah glory of the sinless, perfect Lamb of God in heaven. And where was he? He was in hell. Do you think that for the first time in the existence of hell, that the light of heaven shone down there and the glory of God lit that place up and every sin was seen for what it was? Every person understood that this is the Lamb of God. This is the one who takes away the sins of the world. And I am here to tell you, they knew their sin and they knew their place. And because of it, we are set free. Because when Christ came out of Hades, he went right through Abraham's bosom and he led captives in his train and he emptied that place and he set up heaven where you and I shall reign and rule with him until his second coming if we go before the rapture. But I'm telling you right now, I am looking forward to hearing that trumpet blast and we shall be called up to heaven to meet him in the clouds. Those who are already dead will be there waiting on us and they're going to say, what took you so long? And then for 7 years, we will be in the glory of the Lord at the wedding banquet while all hell breaks loose here on earth and the wrath of God is poured out. The question is, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be here now working on this, remembering that it is the trials and the temptations? God says that he has preserved for us in heaven this thing. It is there. It is imperishable. It is undefiled. And it will never fade away. That is his guarantee to you and I. That while we are working on this thing, you're going to have troubles, but you need to call it out to Jesus. When this stuff begins to happen, when the trials come, when the temptations come, you need to choose to love God rather than the things of this world. I don't know about you, but this fallen body sucks, and I don't want anything to do with it. But I'm looking forward to a glorious day, a day when you and I are going to be healthy, whole. We're going to be so full of grace and glory and goodness, we ain't even going to want to look back to what was. Because it won't even be but a shadow of what we can be. But right now, this is where we find ourselves, and the evil one wants to do everything he can. However, I need you to be remembering that this shall be revealed in the last time. It's not going to all be revealed to you right now because you need to choose God by faith, not by works. You're going to screw up. I'm going to screw up. The trials are going to come. The temptations are going to come. But are you going to learn what you need to learn while you're there? That's the great question. Are you going to learn humility? Are you going to learn where you need to say, oh, I can't do that anymore? And believe me, there are some things in life where you and I have to say, I can't do that anymore. You know, for some people, there are things in life that they can do and get away with. And when I say that, I'm talking things that aren't sins. Please understand me, all right? You know, pastor makes wine. Should I be making wine for an alcoholic? No. All right? We need to understand. These are the things that I'm talking about. Things that are good, that are okay, but for some people, we've got to stay away from it entirely. Because if we don't, it consumes us. I love the internet. I get a lot of news from the internet. How many of you spend an hour a day on the internet? How many of you spend 6 hours a day on the internet? You see what I'm getting at? It can get to the point where something that is okay becomes a trial or a temptation, which can lead to discouragement and doubt. We need to be able to live our lives in such a balance that we understand God's in control and we've got to choose Him over these things. Because otherwise they become idols and they become our gods and they lead us down a road of destruction. And that's the road that the evil one wants us on. That's the direction he is going to try to take us. But we also need to remember that all of these things that we go through are proving our faith. That's verse 7. They are proving our faith, which is much better than even refined gold. You know, we think about that which is valuable, all right? Do you not think that your faith, which is being tried through temptation, is so much more worthwhile to God than anything else you could invest in? That's what he's telling us there. You can put your life into the works and storing up these treasures, but you are the treasure he is trying to store up. Did you hear me? You are the treasure he is trying to store up. And he needs you to realize that. And how are you going to realize that? By going through these times of trying and remembering, I'm worth everything to God. So I need to give all of me to God, even if it hurts. And sometimes it does. Can I get an amen? But are we going to give it up? And that's where we need to walk, giving it up. So how do we do that? It is remembering that we need to look at the fact that where we are, this sense of defeat, this sense of failure is not new. We need to remember that there is nothing new under the sun. I think it's funny because, you know, we've got all kinds of new technology out there, all right? Folks, it's all going to lead to the same spiritual stuff. And that's what God's talking about. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Lamentations. This book is an amazing book. How many of you have, well, I know many of you have read the book of Lamentations. But when you start reading the book of Lamentations, it was written, it's believed to have been written by Jeremiah. I believe it's written by Jeremiah as well. And this book is the prophet lamenting the destruction of Israel, but also thinking of just what it would mean to be rebuilt and the love of God in all of that. So as we are there in the book of Lamentations, we're in chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 25, because I want you to understand, there is nothing new under the sun. This is the same thing that has plagued man since the beginning of time. All right, Adam and Eve went through trials and temptations, didn't they? Yeah, we all know it. That's why we're here. From 19, we read these words in the book of Lamentations. It says, "Remember my affliction and my wandering and the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. For it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good. Is that where I'm to stop? Through 25. Sorry, I went one more. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. You and I need to understand the poet here, the prophet here is literally telling us these things have come, you know, from verses 1 and 2. He remembers his affliction. He remembers his wandering and how it tasted in his mouth, so to speak. The wormwood and the bitterness. Some of the scriptures read the bitterness and the gall. How it made his soul downcast within him. How many of us love failure? No, none of us do. It makes us feel bad. Why does it make you feel bad? Because Christ is in you. Unto victory. And we're allowing these things to come. But this I remember, he says. But this I remember, he says. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, we sing the song, great is thy faithfulness. And it just so amazes me. How many of us in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a temptation, in the midst of a doubt, remember that? We need to remember this life is not our goal. It's the next one. We need to remember where is our eternity? It's not here. We're visitors. We're passing through. But when we get there, just think how much greater it's going to be. So while we're going through this, let's learn something while we're here, okay? I had an instructor when I went to York Vocational Technical School. I don't know what they call it here in Lebanon anymore. Career and Technology. There you go. Thank you. And it's just so amazing. But my shop teacher there, he said to me, you know, every time you fail at something, learn something from it. Because if you don't learn something from it, you're going to repeat it. How many of us are in that repetition mode and don't even realize we're there? I want you to think about it. How many of us are in that repetition mode and don't even realize we're there? I want you to understand, when these things start to come, what are you going to remember? Who are you going to call on? We just partook of communion, which is a remembrance of Christ, right? How many of us in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our discouragement, our doubt, our persecution, should be remembering communion? That's where I need you to go. That's where God needs you to go. Because in that, you're going to see the victory. Though it's not here, it's out there. Jesus didn't see the victory on the cross, but he knew what was beyond the cross. So therefore, he went to the cross on our behalf. He didn't go there for himself. He went there for us. And aren't we glad he did? Because if it were all about him, we would all still be in our sin. But he made it all about us, we who were sinners. He made it all about us and his love for the Father, and that's why he went to the cross. Are you willing to go through what you're going through to help somebody else on the other side? I want you to understand this. God does not waste anything. If you're going through something right now, he's going to use it to get to somebody else who is coming into the place where you are. I think it's funny because right now we have a young man in our church, okay? How many of us have been praying for Jason, all right? Now we all know the Jason, right? Miss Pauline, how long have we prayed for Jason? Over. That young man is a success story for each and every one of us. In his success, we have success. because we have lifted him before the throne. And I look at his Facebook posts and the good and the glory and the things that are coming out. Is he perfect, Miss Pauline? Absolutely not. We all know better. But it's amazing because he's not afraid to share where he struggles. He's not afraid to say, this is what I've been in. And he's bringing others along. He is wrapping things up. We need to understand. That's why you had brothers and sisters looking at you saying, stop, knock it off. Cut it out. You have won the victory. You have made it through this thing. Why? Because we know we have. The body may be weak, but the spirit is strong. You may not be able to walk it. We'll carry you. Because that's the way it works. Victory is not alone. None of us are going to make it to heaven by our own standards. The only way we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And the only way you and I are going to get through this world is with our brothers and sisters who have Jesus Christ in them. We are anointed unto victory, but you are not anointed alone. We are all anointed with the same anointing, and that anointing leads us to the place of understanding that we are never to give up. God is at work in you. I've got 4 minutes, and I'm not going into it because you're going to have to wait until next week to see how that works. You and I need to understand that we are going to see trial, test, and temptation, but we are never to stop, because the moment we quit is the moment we're done. Satan has us wrapped up so far deep down inside that you and I won't be able to fight our way out of that. But I'm telling you here and now, when you find yourself in that place, you have but one thing to do. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ and call a brother or sister. This morning, I just told the men at 9 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, I got a phone call at my house. I'm getting ready to leave, and I get a phone call at my house. I happened to see the name that came up. I won't say what's going on, but I will say this. That person knew I was getting ready to go to church. And they called me and said, I need prayer. We need prayer. And guess what your pastor's doing this evening? I'm going to go meet a brother and sister who needs some help. Because right now, they are finding themselves in the midst of trial and temptation. And they know they can't do it alone. When God makes your cell phone ring, are you going to pick up? Because if your soul phone's ringing, you better be picking that puppy up, because there's somebody on the other end that's far more important, and I'll guarantee you, you want to hear from him, and you want him to hear you. You and I, brothers and sisters, are meant for victory. Are you going to walk in it in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your temptations, or are you going to quit? I will not let you, and I will call you out. I will call you out. I don't care who you are, because you are my brothers and sisters, and you ain't going into this thing alone. Can I get an amen? And that stands for each and every one of you that's out there watching us today. All you got to do is call. We're here. We love you. And we want to be here for you. Just as Christ is here for us, he's here for you. But he does it through people. Amen, church? We are not alone. We are anointed unto victory, even in the midst of trial and temptation. But we have to develop that victory. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for each and every person that has heard this message this day, and for those who will yet hear it into the future. For Lord God, you have blessed us to understand who and whose we are in the fullness of your anointing, that we are anointed unto victory, to live this life knowing that we shall make it through, and not just make it through, but be victorious in each and every way. So Lord God, I ask that you would bless each and every person here who is struggling to receive from you the power to call upon your name, the strength that we've read here from 1 Peter to make it through. For you have given us that power. You have given us that strength that we would succeed in all things in Christ Jesus. Because it is in him that our hope is found and that our salvation is secure. Unto Christ eternal. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.